her in our prayers. And then we had Miss Karen Bird that found out this week that she's got cancer. So we need to remember her. And she's in good spirits about it. And we pray that the Lord will help her through her treatments as she looks into this, going in through this. So in the bulletin, we want to talk today about the events, and tonight, of course, is our family fun night after the service in the Family Life Center. And I'm sure that there's going to be some good time over there, some fun time. So y'all be sure and keep that in mind. If you're here tonight and you can stay, that would be wonderful. Also on Thursday, we're going to have a ladies' Bible study. That will be the 27th. And then on Saturday the 29th, the widows and widowers luncheon. That'll be with the pastor and Miss Amy. And then we're looking forward to Sunday, April the 30th, which is the fifth Sunday. That'll be a others offering. And there's going to be a class that's going to be held that is for the new and the prospective membership. And pastor will also have reception for the graduating seniors and families after the PM service in the home builders class. And missionaries, George and Alexandra, I can't pronounce that, Villafranca from Alaska. And there'll also be a cancer meeting at 7:30 p.m. in the chapel. And a nursing home ministry meeting at 7:30 in the Berea. So next Sunday, April the 30th, is going to be a very, very busy day. We're looking forward to this morning. Brother Steve's back, and we've missed him dearly, so we're glad to have him back with us this morning. And is there any prayer request this morning that you would like to lift your hand and say for someone that needs prayer, that you'd like to pray for them? Anybody? Okay, Miss Teresa. Okay, let's remember this request. She's still working with her mom and having a tough time there. And so let's pray for Teresa. Okay. Okay. Okay, Brenda Watts. Okay. And you've got some surgery on the 27th. Okay, coming up, so we remember you in that. Okay, anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so we'll pray for her. Okay, anyone else? Yes. Okay, Miss Lewis, we'll remember that. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll remember these requests and ask His blessings on it. Father, we come to You this morning. God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy, and God, as we come this morning, Lord, there's several requests that's been made. And Lord, please remember Miss Teresa as she takes care of her mother. And Lord, I pray that You'll let her find some help there if if you would, Lord, and that would give her a little relief. Lord, we pray that you'll be with her mother, Lord, and help her as she struggles in this time. And then, Lord, we pray for Miss Kim Rummett here. Lord, we pray that you'll be with her in her upcoming surgery, and then, Lord, with her neighbor, Lord, as she's having issues. And God, we would pray for this lady's mother, Miss Ruth Stedman Nave. And Lord, I pray that you would bless her, God, that you would help her as she's struggled with this cancer now for some time. And Lord, we pray for Miss Lois Musgrove's request, Lord, for this lady that has problems with her throat. And God, we pray that you'll bless that. And Lord, also these others that are on our prayer list this morning, dear God, we get these. We know many, many, many people that are going through things right now. And of course, we are still praying for Bob Daniels. And God, we're praying, Lord, for Judy Whitson, praying for Karen Bird, Lord. We're praying, Lord, this morning for Frances Lawson. She's suffering with this broke arm. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless these folks. And Lord, we still know that there's a lot more that we've not called by name, but God, you know them, each and every one. We would ask that you bless them this morning, dear God. Draw close to them. And then, Lord, we pray for Brother Steve as he comes to bring the message, the lesson to us, God, that you want us to have. And Lord, we pray that you'll help him to open this up to us, Lord, to where we can understand. And then we pray for our pastor as he comes at the 11 o'clock hour, Lord. Pray that you've given him the word, Lord, that he is ready to share with us, Lord, that you want us to have. And God, we pray for those that might be in our midst that don't know you as Lord and Savior today, Lord, if it be your will, may they turn to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Well, good to be back teaching again. Pam and I had a little time away at the beach, and it was cold, windy, but we enjoyed it anyway. Little tiny beach town down in Georgia. Nothing fancy, just a old-fashioned beach town. Looked like it hadn't changed in 50 years. But anyway, we enjoyed that. Good to be back. Want to pick back up on where I was talking about our journey with Christ after the rapture of the church, after we're called home. Of course, we've talked months ago about the judgment seat of Christ and how that works for those of us that are saved. And then we talked the last time I was here about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And now we're going to talk about what happens after that. This gets down into the weeds of prophecy. And we can speculate, we can read a lot of commentaries. They think this or think that. And I've read quite a few, and I've got Preacher Lashley's notes on this stuff from where he taught Larkin stuff for many, many years. He gave me all his notes on that. It's just a wealth of information from that man. Of course, there's many people differ on the particular ways all this happens. You can get on the computer and YouTube and people talk this way or that way. But most people that have trusted Christ as their Savior know that the shed blood only is what saves us. And know that the work that Christ did on the cross and his resurrection is the truth, the truth of the gospel. And a lot of these men do not differ on that. They believe that just like you and I believe it. Even though they might be from that side or that side or that side, that's in concrete for these folks that I read after. But then they start differing on their interpretations of what some of the verses say. and when and how and who and all that kind of thing. And really, the 7-year tribulation period, there's a lot of people talk about that. We know it's going to be a bad time for here on earth. We also know that it is the final judgment on the Jewish nation. It's God in that dispensation dealing with the Jews and them rejecting him before the cross, and he deals with them again during that time. Well, he also deals with all of mankind, the church, of course, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles. Anybody that's ever trusted Christ as our Savior is raptured, and they're in heaven. So we're following how we as saved Christians, what are we doing during this time? Is what I wanted to look at. Where are we at, and how are we involved in what Christ is going to do? Now, what happens after a marriage? Well, you know, I see a lot of marriages at the farm. Every summer, we have quite a few people come down there and get married. And Pam and I just got married. We got married at the house, in my house. And just family. We had, I don't know, 40 or so in there. And had a great small family wedding. It's going to be the family of God that's celebrating this in this marriage supper of Lamb. It's going to be the church, and the church is us. So usually after weddings, you know, you see the guests. We watch the guests down at the barn. These young people, they go in and they have music and they dance and they greet each other and they cut the cakes and do all those things. Of course, we have no alcohol at the barn. Some people get that involved. We just don't do that on our property, and we've not suffered for that. We just don't do alcohol. And it's always a good ceremony and decent and pure and a happy time. And this is going to be a happy time for us. So they take off their wedding garments, and they usually put traveling clothes on, and they get in their car or on their horses. People do everything on a wagon and ride off into the sunset, go somewhere. It's a fun time to think about where they're going and going to have a great time. Usually go to some resort where they've never been or some place they've never seen. So how's it going to be for us after the marriage supper of the Lamb? Where are we going to go? As the bride on the wedding trip, how much more suitable place it is that Christ is going to take us back home here on earth. I mean, that's where we're going to go. And how long are we going to be on that wedding trip? It's going to be 1,000 years here on earth with Christ. Now, there's a lot of things happen during that time. Christ is doing a lot of things. You know, Christ comes back to this earth, and we're going to go there to Mount Zion, and we're going to see where he suffered for our redemption, where he shed his blood for us, his precious blood. We're going to see the Jewish nation come out of that 7-year tribulation period. Of course, that's another whole thing I've got to talk about. I can't even begin to talk about all that. But the first thing he's going to do is there's going to be a battle on this earth. We see today, we hear it from all the preachers, we hear it from our preacher, and we heard it in the revival, how things have gotten in the world and how they're starting to line up with what the Word says, how people are going to be, how life is going to be on this earth, how governments are going to be, and how these governments are going to line up against the nation of Israel. So at the end of that tribulation period, we see the devil and his demons working to finally crush the nation of Israel. And we hear today from different preachers that come through, that, and you can read it and study it and see it in the Word, that the Jewish nation is coming back together. They're all going home. And some of them may not know why they're going home. God's calling them home. They've got that gene in them that's calling them home. And so they're going to be there. Most of the world Jewish nation is going to go back home. And that's happening today as we speak. And then the Satan and his armies, and you can talk about that 10 federation, which goes back into the Old Testament, talking in some in Isaiah. We can read a little bit of that in a minute. How Satan intends on squashing the nation of Israel once and for all. Wipe them off the face of the earth. So here we are with Christ, just got through with the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to leave heaven, and we're going to come with Christ, dressed in our white raiment, on white horses, and see Christ. And we, in the word, we're considered part of the armies, or an army. Talks about 10,000, a number, which is one army in amongst the armies, the angels, and the church is all coming with Christ. Can you even imagine seeing that coming into heaven? And Christ is going to set his feet on Mount Olives and shake the earth in that part of the world. Because that's where the armies of Satan is going to be in this battle, trying to wipe out the nation of Israel. Now, there's all kinds of verses we could read. Let me just start reading some here. We need to look at that after this sweet, delightful honeymoon, but it turns into where Christ has to take care of business because he's bringing us back to earth. So we look at this. Really, the next thing that we'll see after the marriage supper of the Lamb and after we get on our white horse, I've rode horses a little bit in my life. I really don't like horses, but a lot of people love them, especially ladies. Pam loves horses. But we're going to get on these wonderful horses with Christ, and we're going to ride back in, and we're going to get to see all this happen. Now, do we have to do anything? No. We just observe. He's protecting us. He's going to protect the Jews that get saved during the tribulation period. He's going to protect the Gentiles that get saved during the generation during that 7-year period. And we'll talk about that later. Maybe next week, maybe the week after. So here we are at the Battle of Armageddon. So we're coming with him in the clouds. We're coming down to earth this time. We're not going to stop in the clouds. We're coming out of heaven. We're going to get on earth. And we're going to be there. We know the next dispensation is 1,000 years. So we know we're going to be there for another 1,000 years. And after that, eternity. But right now, we're just going to look at just getting there. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, I want to start there today. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True and Righteous, and he doth judge and make war. Now, you hear these people say today, well, how could God be a bad God and judge people and send them to hell? He's righteous. He deals with sin. Sin has a place. He created a place for sin, and people that are sinful are in hell and will be in hell forever and ever, in the lake of fire at the end of all this. And we'll go on that journey later on. But here he comes down, and he's going to judge. And in righteousness, it says, he doth judge and make war. God does nothing unrighteous. You know, we hear about people that have cancer, loved ones here, faithful people here, there. The C word, it's an awful thing. God Does God allow that? Does God cause that? Does God make somebody have that? It's the sin of this world. It's part of the curse. God helps us deal with it. He helped Debbie and I deal with it. He helped Pam deal with it. And he helped all these other folks that have it. But boy, let me tell you what. You got to get a hold of him to deal with it. You think Brother Bob laying there in the hospitals by himself? No, he's got a hold of God. And we're going to have a hold of God when this stops. It's going to be just like we're holding his hand when he walks back in on this earth and starts this righteous judgment on this sinful earth. We can look at it today and say, where is the peace that we used to have? It's raging in the world. It's raging outside of our homes. We have to purpose in our homes today and say, I'm going to live in peace. I am not going to let the world take my peace out of my house. Well, here is Christ finally gets to the point, and the prophecies talk about it, that Christ is going to walk back in and straighten things up. Because the world's at a point at the end of that 7-year tribulation period that Christ is going to step in and straighten it out. And he's going to take out those that's causing the problem. The servants of the devil. And verse 12 says, his eyes were the flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. The great I Am. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now we're going to be in that bunch. Clothed in white linen. Remember, we already talked about what we're wearing. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, the Word. God's Word sharp. You start talking to somebody that don't want to hear it. It's sharp. They don't like to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to be around it. If they're involved in sin and like it, it's sharp. It cuts. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule with them with an iron rod, and he treadeth on the winepress, and the fierceness of and wrath of the Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Here he is. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, crying that all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together upon the supper for the Lord, the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all the men, both free and bond, both small and great. He's talking about all these people that Christ kills with the Word. He just speaks it. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him and set on horses and against his army. Now we can go back to chapter 6 in Revelations, which months ago I talked about opening the seals. Remember the scroll, and Christ stands up and God hands him the scroll, the title deed to earth. And he starts opening the books, the scroll, and the seals. And if you look at Revelations 1, and he says, I saw, this is the beginning of the tribulation period. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, behold, a white horse. Here's another white horse now. And he that sat upon him had a bow and a crown. One bow, one crown, no arrows, not a bunch of crowns, we just read, was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Who was he going to conquer? He's going to conquer the nation of Israel. So this white horse we see here, he had a bow in his hand, and a crown was given him. Well, who gave it to him? The world gave it to him. This is the Antichrist. This rider was the Antichrist. We're talking about here in chapter 6. Many stumble at this white horse rider. They get confused, but you're talking about two different periods of time. One at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, and one at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, what does Satan want to do? He wants to be like Christ. He wants to, if you go back into the Old Testament, he talks, I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to be like God. I this and I that and I this and I that. That's the devil. He wants to blind people who he is. I am the greatest. And this man will show up here on earth. And are we ready for that? Is things got bad enough to where this one world leader is going to step in? It's close. We see what happened during COVID, how easy it was to stop things. One more war in the wrong place. Just one more something, one more economic mess. They could take our money away and we'd be living on a card, a number. One more. Are you going to take that number that the Bible talks about? You will or you won't eat. That's where it's going to get to during that 7-year time. You will take that number because these people are going to starve to death if they don't. So who receives the mark of the beast? Folks, it's so close, it's so reasonable to know all that can happen. How do you pay? You take a credit card and you don't even have to run it through the thing anymore. You just tap that little thing and it's done. So the next thing is, well, when they just put it in the palm of your hand, you just go right there like that. They got them for dogs and cats. If they get lost, take it to the vet and they just scan them and, oh, that's so-and-so's dog. It's here. Scary, isn't it? How close it is. And the Antichrist is going to take advantage of all this technology. Instant, 50 years ago, I can think about and hear my dad and my papa talking, how will the world know it all at the same time? I mean, how will they know, how will everybody know this person? Well, today we can see how we'll know that. With this instant communication that we have, the internet, I can pick up my phone here and call Levi in England, just pick it up, hit the button, and talk to Levi. It's not like it used to be where you had to go to a phone booth and dial in, hit the operator and all this stuff. I remember in the military trying to call home from Europe. You get an operator and she said, well, I'll ring you back when I get the connection. It's not that anymore. It's instantaneous. Everything is. And the devil's going to take advantage of that. So the name of this first white horse rider, this first white horse rider, is the Antichrist. But the rider has eyes, a flame of fire, and many crowns, and with the word of God, the sharp sword, is all he has to do is speak it. Standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks, as it says in chapter 1, the Son of Man. We saw that day that Christ stood up and took that scroll and said, yeah, I am the one. I am the rightful owner of the throne of David. I paid for it with my blood. So we see Christ coming in on this horse, but we see that this other white horse rider, he was trying to make himself look like, be like. How many sins that we know that are just painted, oh, it's so much fun. It's so beautiful. I mean, you turn the page and it's ugly. So ugly. That's Satan. That's how he fools people. That's how he keeps people unsaved. Folks, we got this coming at us. So some people want to say, well, I can't believe this. I'm amazed that it even says this. I can't believe that this white horse rider and that white horse rider, there's all kinds of controversy about that. It's nothing but the devil is in the middle of controversy. Why can't we just plain old believe that we're going to be riding down in white garments because the word says it? Why not? I believe it. Just as I believe the prophecy of the Old Testament, the prophet speaking about the first coming of Christ and what happened, and the prophecy of him riding in on a lowly little ass, a little bitty donkey. Have you ever sat on a little bitty donkey? I sat on one time. I don't know where I was at. Maybe in Africa. My legs drugged the ground. This little bitty feller. But they rode him. Rode him side saddle a lot. I believe that. It's in the Bible. Why shouldn't I believe it? And now we have the literal record in the New Testament that was written 1,400 years prior to that he wrote in on that. So why can't we say, okay, now it's talking about the future. He's going to ride in on a white horse. Do you believe that? Or is that just some kind of story or some kind of beautiful picture of what's going to happen? I believe it'll happen exactly like what the Bible says. We can't argue with what God's word says. It's exactly what he says. And then you hear people say, well, I didn't think there was animals in heaven. Well, go back to the Old Testament. Go back there and look at Elijah and Elijah. What happened there? Chariots of fire came down with horses pulling them in the Old Testament. So can I say, well, there was horses there? And now we're talking about horses again. So is there animals in heaven? Well, there's horses. So does that mean there's no animals in heaven? I have to think, because what it said in the Old Testament, and we know it's the truth, and we know it's going to happen in this future scene, I believe it's going to happen. And none of us may even know how to ride a white horse. We'll have that knowledge then. And I'll enjoy riding that white horse. I went on a trip out west one time, went trout fishing. We rode horses till I was so sore I couldn't really stand up, riding into the backcountry in Montana. Oh my goodness. My bottom was sore. But I'm going to ride again. You're going to ride again. Or you're going to ride for the first time. It's coming. It's coming at us. So it's clear to me. If there's horses, there's animals. Now, does it say there's going to be dogs and cats there? It don't really say it. But it's nice to think about it, isn't it? People think about their pets. I think if God wants us to be happy, it may happen. Does God want us to be happy? Of course he does. It's fun to think about. But here we've got proof about horses. In the past and the future, it's going to happen. I mean, we see Christ on one, a little tiny donkey riding in. We know that's the truth in the New Testament, which was predicted thousands of years before. And then we see the dress of the saints, the bride. It's clear that the bride of Christ is accompanying us back to earth. It talks about the white raiment and all that. We're gonna be there. And it talks about, recorded in Jude, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Well, that's one company of the many armies that's coming. From heaven descending, he comes. Hallelujah. I mean, hallelujah. We can shout hallelujah. Will we be shouting hallelujah then? Well, I will. I'll be riding on the back of that horse and say, "You lead them, get them, Christ." Then he just says the word and it's done. The word and it's done. It's sharper than a two-edged sword and smites the nation. Then he'll rule them with a rod of iron. He'll rule them. The fulfillment of Psalms. It says in Psalms 2:1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" This is in Psalms. Can we apply that to today? Just drive down the road and watch people drive. Just go to Walmart and watch people interact with their families. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine vain things? Is the question. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointing, saying, 'Let us break the bands asunder and cast away the cords from us.' He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh." God's going to laugh. "And the Lord shall have him in derision. I mean, he's laughing. Derision means ridicule. He's going to say, look at those people. What? He's going to laugh at the threats of his enemies. The world standing up against God and shaking their fist against anything that's good today. God looks down at that and he just laughs. He says, what? How can you? I mean, goodness. Look at them people. God's going to get to a point. The day's coming. The time's coming. And it may be today. "Then shall he speak unto them with his wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. Yet have I set my kingdom upon the holy hill of Zion." See, that shifts in this Psalms 2, talking about the current situation, which applies to today. And then all of a sudden, in the writer in 5, he shifts into the future. The Holy Spirit starts giving inspiration to write down about what's going to happen in the future. "Yet I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion." It's talking about what's going to happen at the end of the 7-year tribulation. "And I declare a decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art the Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions." There you go. He's setting up the 1,000-year reign. It's coming. There it is, talking about it in Psalms. Crossing back into the Revelations. And then it says in 1st John, "Thou shalt break them with an iron rod." We already read that in Revelations, this iron rod thing. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You ever hit a piece of pottery with a hammer? I mean, it just goes into pieces, just disintegrates. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of this earth. Judges of this earth. Look at the judicial system right now. In some of these cities, they won't even put people in jail for stuff that used to be, you went to jail for 10 years. They won't judge. The devil's got a hold of it, letting these heathens back out on the street to kill and murder and drugs and all that's going on. It's coming to an end, folks. So he says, be wise, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Fear the Lord. Honor Him. Do the right thing. Are we past that point? I have to say that we see families out there that have passed that point. They're exploding every day because they don't fear the Lord. Kiss the Son lest he be angry, and ye perish from away. Then his wrath is kindled, but a little. His wrath is kindled, but a little. Boy, he's a lot more tolerant than I am. And all of us. I'm glad he's tolerant. There's a church being built right today. You can see it happening here in this church. I can see it in Levi's churches in England. Oh my, what an outpouring of people getting saved and coming to church that they've never seen before. The nation of Israel, people coming home. Missionaries around the world seeing great success. Is it the last hurrah, as you say it? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. People never put better trust what Christ. Of course, we talk about that. We can talk about that ten kings that it talks about in that first part of Psalms. There goes off into that 10-king federation that we've heard for years and years, that there's going to be a 10-nation attack on the Jewish at this end of the tribulation period. I'm not going to get into that explanation. It can go deep in different ways. I want to stay on track with Christ and what he's doing. But we know that federation is going to be there. Is the United States going to be part of it? I used to think no. I said, how can we love Israel? We try to do the right thing, a church-going country. But today, I don't know. We may be part of that. I'm going to have to quit. I didn't even get through this. I'll finish this thing up next week and take us to where Christ is standing at the Temple Mount, and he's going to start judging some of those characters from this great tribulation period. And we're going to see all that. We're going to be there. I'm going to stay on track where we're going to be. Lord, help us, give us understanding with all this. And use it to witness to others and tell others it's close. It's close. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. God, thank you for the promise of the future. It's all going to be right. You're going to make it all right for us. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the salvation that you so freely give us and keep and take care of. Lord, thank you for that. Pray for all those that on the prayer list that suffering with illnesses. Touch them. Give them strength. Give them hope. Give them peace that only you can give. God, give us a good day in church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.